much about.
Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz? Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! God damn it!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Here's Cal Worthington and his dog Spot.
If you're living short of cash, go see Cal. Troubles over in a flash, go see Cal.
The down payment he'll arrange. Get a 10-day trial exchange. Go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal.
Yeah, what's up?
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
If you're having girl problems, I'll feel bad for you, son.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Fire beer mug.
You a pothead, fucker?
No. No. What? No, 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 Jack. No, I'm not. I pass on grass.
Bong.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Squirt some goo.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm just eating butts.
Roll another one.
Don't you see that's not even a question?
Just like the other one.
Obviously.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Another it's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
How do you feel about the Jews?
Roll. Roll another one.
It's nothing like wearing another man's underwear, right?
Just like the other. This one seems to be about
10. What's up, what's up, what's up?
I don't have another cent.
And $4.
Let's go have sex in a tree. But don't that joint.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Just pass it around.
Fat people need not apply.
But don't that joint, my friend.
I did not sign up for this.
I just pass it.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, don't bring her back. I miss her. I miss our crazy Afro lady.
What do you think happened to her? She used to call all the time. You think she's dead?
Well, I think there's one of two things. She's either dead or on meds.
That's actually probably more likely.
Maybe she took meds that evened her out or whatever. But, yeah. Man, she used to call, and Obama was always trying to kill her and all these kinds of things. And I miss her.
Yeah. I miss her, too. I thought she was the one. I really did.
Me too. Me too. It's like when we broke up, we didn't have a chance to say goodbye.
I know. It's terrible.
She just disappeared.
Hey, party people. Welcome on into yet another Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Friday. Let me start with this story. I found this interesting. Then we'll get into telling you about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. They've had, for a number of years now, they've had a population problem in Russia. They don't have enough people.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean...
Not enough people are starving?
And I think that has something to do with it. I think that the last thing you want to do if you're butt poor is have kids, right? So I think a lot of people are probably saying, we can't afford it. We're not going to try, right?
Can you define butt poor?
And, they also have, their health system is they've got a lot of problems in that country with alcoholism and with bad health, and lots of people die young. So, I mean, everything's working against the population a while. But the reason I bring it up is because yesterday apparently was Russia's 8th annual Day of Conception, where across the country, businesses are encouraged to give their employees off so they can go home and have sex and try to have a baby. They're trying to encourage people to have sex to get pregnant.
They give them a day off?
They give them a day off. In past years, prizes have been awarded throughout the country to couples who give birth exactly 9 months from the holiday, which is yesterday, September 12th. In 2012, for instance, one winning pair was presented with a Jeep for being the couple that had a baby 9 months after the conception day.
All right.
In 2006, Russia was declining by 700,000 people a year. Their population was down by that much. Now, it has improved some since then, but they're doing everything they can to encourage people to have kids. President Putin invited boys to men to Russia to play on Valentine's Day, hoping that that would get everybody in a sexy mood.
You know, that place is, and I've never been there, but it just seems dark, cold, mm-hmm. and miserable.
Yeah.
It just seems like it would be a miserable place to live.
I'm sure that is the case. I mean, look, everybody, even if you've never been to Siberia, you know that Siberia is not a good thing. And that's right. A lot of that country. I think you're right. I'm sure there are some beautiful parts of Russia. I'm sure there are some, you know, some dynamic cities.
That's where the rich people live.
But it does sound like it's not so great for the rest of people. And I was also thinking about maybe this is why the Russians are so down on the gays, too. Like, they don't want to see, any kind of canoodling going on if there's no baby at the end of it, which is what they want and need. They're trying to grow their tax base, basically. So that's an unusual day to be sent home, I'll tell you that. It's, all right, go home and have some sex. We'll see you tomorrow.
And then they check in, you know, noon. Check back with me. How are things going? How's it going? Well?
Is he drinking? What's going on?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Did the doctor send you? Man, you are eye candy.
We have Cousin Sal on the program today.
Fantastic.
He, of course, Jimmy Kimmel's actual cousin and is on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He's going to give us his NFL Week 2 picks.
Mm-hmm. Got some angry emails from people last week who Sal was saying what a blowout it was going to be against the Raiders.
Right.
In Indianapolis, I think, and it ended up being a super close game. I don't even think the Colts covered the spread. People listen to Sal and put money down based on what he says. So he definitely, there's some repercussions when he's wrong.
Right. But the thing about that is he's guessing as well. I mean, he's informed, but he's guessing as well.
Right.
So really, you getting mad at Sal is not going to help it. what you accomplished by the time you were 30?
Oh, interesting.
We want to talk to people who have really done something with their lives.
Knocked it out of the park.
And this has nothing to do with the fact that Beer Mug is 30 tomorrow. Nothing at all. This is unrelated to that.
Well, I think by the time you're 30, Muggs, you would agree that you should have a career, you should be in great shape, and usually you're settled down with a stable relationship, right?
You're at least out of the house, but I'm saying this has nothing to do with Muggs. This is just for everyone else. We also have the creators of Cops, John Langley and his son Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing back Cops, and they're doing it on Spike.
Oh, cool.
What a show that is.
What a show that is.
Is that the first reality show ever?
No, I mean, it gets that credit from some people. There was actually that PBS show about the American family was actually in the 70s.
Yeah, but
I mean,
that's PBS. Cops
did kind of start primetime reality TV. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they go back to the late 80s, and that show is still going strong. And there's never been a bad episode of Cops. That's what I love about it. There's never been an episode where you went, well, that wasn't very good. It always delivers.
And you watch it and you go, white people suck.
That's pretty much it.
Why doesn't anyone own a shirt?
They should just name it White People Suck. We have Depeche Mode tickets for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Strong.
With a game. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. And in the 6 o'clock hour from Dexter, Yvonne Strahovski. Aww.
That's what I'm talking about.
So that's coming up. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Boy, I haven't heard that song in a long time. Remember when you couldn't get away from that
last
song?
Last summer, yeah. Last summer we played it 2 billion times.
In a row.
A song that we used to know.
How does he do it?
Magic.
That's how it's going to be. All right, it's Friday. Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Congratulations to actor Jonathan Scheck. His wife, Julie Solomon, popped out a baby boy yesterday. Congratulations to those two and their first child. They were just married in July in Ocean City, Maryland, and boom, already they had a kid. How did they have one so fast?
I don't know how that works.
You have to get married before you have a kid, right? So that's how that works.
That's true. Ralph, you don't know much about babies, but the first one only takes 3 to 6 months to grow.
I did not
After
realize
that, they're 9 months.
That the baking process was so quick.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
Sure. He was married, of course, to Christina Applegate for a while, and another actress named Jenna Rae Kramer from One Tree Hill. He's a good-looking fellow, that Jonathan Scheck. You may know him from That Thing You Do.
Mm-hmm.
He was leading that. He's been on Ray Donovan this season, playing a Tom Cruise-esque movie star on that show.
It's a good show.
That character's had a baby, too. I hope this one works out better than the Ray Donovan baby did, because that baby, spoiler alert, has problems. Speaking of problems, best wishes to Peter Mayhew. You may not know the name, but you know him. He's Chewbacca.
Uh-huh.
The dude who spent all of Chewbacca's turns in the Star Wars franchise inside the suit. Wow. Peter is now 69 years old, had to have both knees replaced.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Here's that the thing seems about, extreme. Here's that being about being a giant. It's not good for your knees to be that big. And he has had knee problems for some time, and finally his knees just stopped working. They said the only solution was a knee replacement. Here's the thing. Because of his size, they had to manufacture knees to his specifications. They didn't have...
Really?
Nobody had knees that size back in the stock room at any medical supply house. They actually had to build him some knees.
You have to be super hairy or it's going to look stupid.
That's right. That's a good point. Blend in.
They replaced the... Place the knee on the inside, Kevin. The inside.
Oh.
Yeah, good. Peter's had to use a wheelchair to get around for the past 2 years. So hopefully this will let him walk again, which would be cool. Wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We're with you on that.
Come on, people, now. John Gosselin of Kate and John Plus Eight. Fame.
Haven't heard his name in a while.
Yeah, he was married, of course, to Kate Gosselin. They had a very popular TV series. That was the honey boo-boo of its day.
Everybody
was talking about it, and they had huge ratings, and they were both making a lot of money, and then it all fell apart. This is a cautionary tale, my friends. He used to have a wife, 8 children, a popular TV show, a future. Now, he's waiting tables at a place called Emily's Pub in Bekersfield, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
John works the lunch shift, and they say he'll probably be making about $40 to $50 a day.
Wow.
And that is all going towards the rent he pays on a tiny cabin in the woods.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
I mean, he used to do something with computers,
he was an
he?
IT specialist, yeah. Can't find any work, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Times are tough out there. I hope that happens to everybody on a reality TV show, by the way. Speaking of which, great ratings for Honey Boo Boo on Wednesday night.
Is that on again?
Oh, yeah, my friend.
I didn't realize there was a new season going on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wednesday night was the Mama June Sugar Bear Commitment Ceremony episode. Mama June, by the way, opted for a commitment ceremony versus a traditional wedding because she didn't want to be legally binding. This woman really doesn't want to be with this guy. He has just been chasing her like a madman, begging her to marry him, and she's like, "No, she's waiting for something better to come along." Because look at her.
Yeah,
you don't settle for one man when they're that sexy.
She's so lucky he's interested. She should lock that in now.
3.2 million viewers tuned in to watch that.
Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
Big Brother's been renewed for another season.
Yeah.
Sixteenth season.
Because it's cheap to make?
Show.
Probably.
That's got to be the answer, right? Do you know anybody who's watching that?
No.
The only reason I even knew it was still on the air because they had that big racism kerfuffle this season around where there was a couple people on there saying horrible things about some of their companions or housemates who are from different ethnicities. The only reason I even knew it was still on the radar.
Yeah. I never watched it.
Did you guys ever? I tried it the first time around. Yeah, I said, this must be interesting, and boy, was I wrong.
Just a lot of nothing happening.
Yeah.
As far as I remember.
Well, that'll all change when we all go turn over to the Game Show Network later this year. They've just announced their new show called Skin Wars.
Here we go! It's on!
No, it's
race
not.
Race war!
It has nothing to
race
do with the
on,
color
everybody.
Of your
it's
skin.
It's going down! It's going down!
No.
Race war. Come on.
No.
Race war.
No, it's a competition reality show looking for America's most talented and versatile body painter. That's what we're down to. That's what we've come down to.
Really?
The body painting competition show. We've had people cooking against each other and tattooing against each other and doing special effects makeup against each other, and now they're just body painting.
Yeah! That's hot!
Are they going to get good models to paint on? That would be worth watching.
Celebrities will be the canvases. Mama June from Honey Boo Boo will be the first one.
Wow.
I'm kidding. I kid. Can you imagine how much paint they'd have to use? No, they will be using models. And painting challenges, according to producers, will involve camouflage, graffiti, corporate ad campaigns, and animal art.
And then more corporate ad campaigns.
Yeah. It's over, people. Pack it up. Let's go home. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these people were born on Friday the 13th! Ah! Dave Mustaine of Megadeth. 52 years old today. Comedian Jeffrey Ross, our buddy, he's 48. Steve Perkins, drummer for Jane's Addiction, is 46. Tyler Perry is 44 years old today. Fiona Apple is 36. Actor Ben Savage turns 33 years old today. And Niall Horan.
Oh, Niall.
Niall Horan. Sounds like one of the clues from The Hardest Game in the World.
It does, backwards.
Niall Horan. Niall Horan. He's one of the One Direction guys.
Really?
He celebrates his 20th birthday.
There's a One Direction kid named Niall Horan?
Niall Horan. Niall Horan. Niall Horan. Backwards is actually One Direction.
Interesting.
He's 20 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We had that young lady, Lord, in studio with us a few weeks ago. She was delightful, performed that song for us live, and man, she's got a terrific voice. We love it when the musical acts come by K-Rock, and there's a chance for you to be here at the Red Bull Sound Space to see Cage the Elephant on Friday, September 20th. That's 1 week from today. If you want to be in the Sound Space with Cage the Elephant, you can do that. Just go to krock.com and enter to win.
Bit of an energetic performer, that one.
Yes, that's true.
Let's talk about Senator John McCain coming out Thursday. Not coming
Senator
out.
McCain came
no,
out?
I don't mean coming out. I mean,
explain so much.
On Thursday at a town hall, he came out and said the words, maybe we should legalize marijuana.
Woo. Well, now that's a surprise. I mean, look, eventually marijuana is going to be legal everywhere, as it is in many states in this country already.
But right, but the federal government has never been on board,
nope.
Right?
Right.
And I always think that that's a generational thing. I think by the time young people are in a position to run things, that's not going to happen anymore. So I'm a little bit surprised to see John McCain, who's got to be, what, about 150? I'm a little bit surprised to see him turn around on this issue.
He said, we're certainly moving that way as far as marijuana is concerned. I respect the will of the people. Since when? What's happening in our government?
Our government does not respect the will of the people.
What?
Well, we wanted to find out more, maybe get some clarification on this. We asked producer Dave, could you please line up for us our old friend, Senator John McCain from the great state of Arizona, and he joins us here on the show now. Hi, John.
Good morning, my friends. How are you?
We're good.
Well, we're doing great. It was a little bit of a surprise, as you may have heard us talking about you on hold, sir.
Well, I don't think it's a surprise, really, if you look at the facts. And it seems to me that legalizing marijuana, it shouldn't be a moral issue. We should take a look at the facts. The facts are there are an enormous amount of so-called criminals clogging up the legal justice system in this country.
Right.
Or filling jail cells and prison cells, which perhaps could be used better for more violent offenders.
Yeah, and in addition to that, think of all the manpower, time, energy, and money that governments in this country are using to fight people who are just smoking pot and aren't hurting anybody.
And economically, it just makes sense.
Right.
If you look at the tax every year raised from on both local and state and federal levels for cigarettes and alcohol and other vices, if you will, to tax marijuana just seems like a good fiscal sense as well.
But this has all been true, you know, all these years. Why are you just now
Senator?
What?
What's I've just recently had a change of mind, that's all.
I see. I see.
You okay there?
Oh, that's good.
Just recently, though, was it the first time that you had?
I was part of a think tank.
A think tank?
Yes. That took place on my couch
right.
in my living room.
Okay.
Around 1 o'clock in the morning with some friends of mine, and we were discussing the issues, and it just, it all started to make sense to me for some reason.
I see. Interesting. Well, don't overdo it at first.
Yeah, you still got to work today.
Yeah, I really think we should legalize it.
Yeah, so do we. What do you think? The chance?
Ever see my daughter?
We talked to your daughter.
Yeah.
She's super hot.
She's pretty hot, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she's hot. Yeah.
Okay. Very attractive woman. That's uncomfortable. Please don't say that.
Yeah, come on. I wouldn't do anything.
It's weird for you to even say she's hot, though. She's your daughter.
I have eyes.
Right.
I do
love
eyes,
her, but she's your daughter.
Where are my eyes?
You have eyes.
Where are my eyes?
You have eyes.
Oh,
don't
there.
Worry. They're
I
there.
Just had them closed.
Yes.
So they disappeared for a minute.
Nope. We're all still here, Senator. You're doing fine.
We had a third eye. Could you imagine that?
No, yeah.
We could see like in 3D that way.
All right.
How stoned are you, Senator?
I'm just saying three eyes. Right?
Should be legalized?
If you had three eyes and you could see stuff. And
agreed.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. What if we had five eyes? With two in the front, one in the forehead, and then one on either side of your head.
Right.
And you can see stuff coming.
Be like a 360-degree view?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's you need idea. To lay down, Mr. McCain. Oh, not, no more, please.
What if we... What if we started to breed people that were like, had special gifts? Like, you know the X-Men, right?
The X-Men, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What if we started to find people who had special gifts?
Right.
Like speed or strength or whatever, and we started to breed those people together?
Right.
Don't you think we could take the human race to the next level where we could start moving forward? I mean, do it with everything, physical attributes and mental attributes, until we just became like superheroes. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I know that sounds great to you, but you're very high right now. You need to sleep that off, sir.
Oh, what if we had three eyes?
Can we get this over with already so that we can get to Von Strahovski? Is that possible? Can we move this along?
Come back, Ralph. She's not going to be available right away.
No, he was kidding.
No, she's not. I was just trying.
Ralph, come back, dude.
Come on, you guys. Why do you do stuff like that?
Someone send Ralph.
You know what's going to happen.
She's not ready for us. She's not ready for us for about 15 minutes, Kevin.
Well, then quickly do you want to move things along?
Well, I want the clock to move fast.
Oh, okay.
Can you make that happen?
Sure. Let me just get on my cape, and I'll spin the planet.
Okay, good.
Yvonne Strahovski joins us talking the series finale of Dexter in a few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, it's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Real mixed bag of movies in theaters this weekend. Here are what your choices are. A couple of them are in limited release. You're going to have to work extra hard to find these. But they may sound interesting enough to you that you do just that. First of all, it's a movie called Jane Mansfield's Car, which, as far as I can ascertain, has nothing to do with actress Jane Mansfield or her car.
What?
Oh, really?
Yes. It is directed by...
It's poorly named, then.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, really?
Okay.
He's a weirdo. He's got a kind of a strange view on things.
And not surprisingly, this is a family drama that takes place in the South, an area Billy Bob knows well. And it takes place in 1969. Which I believe is the year that Jane Mansfield died in that car accident that decapitated her. So maybe there's a connection to that. It's a story of two very different families who are brought together when the wife in one of the families dies. She's a sister and daughter to another family. And brings them together, but does this create more tension? Will this tear them apart? Will there be truths exposed that lead to unexpected problems in this family drama? Well, I think you can rest assured. Here's the cast. Pretty impressive. Kevin Bacon, Ray Stevenson, Robert Duvall, Robert Patrick.
Wow.
It's a great cast in this small, limited release film. Here are some clips from the trailer of Jane Mansfield's Car.
From director Billy Bob Thornton comes a story.
Boy, it's a shame about her moving on. She's in a better place now. Better than England, anyway.
I'm getting busy with you.
But not really. I mean, it's miserable over there.
About coming together.
Y'all are staying at Daddy's.
That's very kind, but we couldn't possibly.
I think it's a great idea.
To bury the past.
This English accent of yours makes me hornier than Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
Sounds quirky. Interesting. Shh.
Let me know how it is.
All right. Face of Love, also in limited release. Another great cast. Robin Williams, Ed Harris, Annette Bening. A widow falls for a guy who bears a striking resemblance to her late husband. Here's a scene where Annette Bening is telling Ed Harris a secret about her husband.
Garrett.
Oh, Jesus, Willette. You getting back with him?
No, he didn't leave me.
So you're seeing him again?
Yes. No.
That's why you're hiding me? Because you're back with your husband?
No. He's dead.
He's dead?
He died.
Whoa.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
Let's move on to the wider release films, like The Family that opens up this weekend. I think this looks real funny. I'm looking forward to it.
It's a great cast.
Great cast. Robert De Niro, Tommy Lee Jones, Michelle Pfeiffer, Diana Agron of Glee. Luc Besson. Luc Besson is the director, who's done a lot of great work with The Professional and other feature films. And it's a great premise, too. It kind of takes the traditional mafia in witness protection plot and turns it on its head, because this family, the Manzoni family, headed by Robert De Niro and his wife Michelle Pfeiffer, are relocated to France. So this taps into our much maligned French brothers and how Americans just don't like them and they don't dig us. And it adds a new wrinkle to it, which seems very funny to me. Here's a scene where Tommy Lee Jones, who plays a federal agent who is working with the Manzoni family, checks in on Freddie Manzoni, played by Robert De Niro, on their first day of relocation to France.
How was the first day?
It was pretty good.
Anything to report?
Nothing.
Heard you already met the neighbor?
The guy on the left, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Nothing much. Roses, mostly.
Try to fit in, will you, Freddie? I'm getting tired of finding you a new place to live every 90 days. Can I rely on you to try?
Sure, as long as I can rely on you.
You know what's going to happen to you and your family when they find you.
Well, you're here to make sure that don't happen, right? I mean, that's your job.
Try not to make my job impossible.
I think anytime De Niro plays a gangster,
you're in.
I'm in. Yeah. And Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Returning to her Married to the entertaining. And also this weekend, we're getting into that season with Halloween right around the corner. Horror movies are coming back in a big, big way. Insidious, the second installment in this franchise. Insidious Chapter 2 comes out this weekend. Patrick Wilson and Rose Byrne return. Barbara Hershey also stars in this film. The Lambert family, once again, is dangerously connected to the spirit world, and they need to uncover a mysterious childhood secret that explains why things keep happening in their house. Here's a scene from Insidious Chapter 2.
Still happening.
What is?
I heard the piano playing by itself downstairs, and I found Callie on the floor of her room by her crib.
Well, maybe she climbed out of her crib. Has she ever done that before?
What? What is wrong with you?
Renee, I just want us to move on from this. That's all. I want us to be a normal family again.
There is nothing normal about this, okay? These things are still here. Okay. Elise is dead. No one's talking about it. Someone murdered her. But
then let's talk about it.
You think I did it?
No. No,
good.
I don't.
Good, because I know what happened. I went into that place to get our son back, and something evil followed me and killed Elise.
I don't think that's that's actual.
Unusual?
I don't think that's actual music.
I added the organ because
I believe you did.
I thought it would be good.
Too many cases of you adding the organ in life in general, I think.
So, we're all going to die tonight.
Yeah, okay, we know. We're all going to die. Those are your picks for this weekend. Me, I'll be checking out the family because Insidious just looks too scary.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Ah!
I can't wait for that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
But what are we supposed to do with our lives, Kevin, when there's no more Dexter? What do we do after that?
That's my question.
I think there's only two episodes left. We could not be more excited to welcome back to the Kevin Devine Show the beautiful Yvonne Strahovski. Hi, Yvonne. Yvonne. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
Doing great. We chatted with you a little bit at Comic-Con. Seems like you've been pretty busy since then. It seems like it's been a nonstop working summer for you.
Well, yeah, it has been. I've been busy with Dexter Season 8, which I've been lucky enough to have survived and been able to return to. So it's nice to be able to finish out such an amazing series with these guys.
Were you expecting that from when you first joined the show? Did they tell you you were going to come back this season?
No, not at all. I mean, I knew sort of what my storyline was going to be in season 7, and I think leading up to the end, I remember reading, you know, about the Black Orchid, how she drops the Black Orchid off at Dex's doorstep, and I thought, oh, I wonder if they're going to bring me back, and when they did, you know, it was a surprise, and it's such an honor because, I mean, as we all know, nobody really ever survived.
Yeah, true.
You know, when you're a guest on Dexter, you often just die.
Right. If you're not Dexter, you're in trouble.
Yes. That's,
now, I know you can't give away too much, but how does the series end?
Well, everybody dies.
There's two episodes left. Spoiler alert. There's two episodes left, and I just have to bring up one thing, and that is I was convinced this entire season that Dr. Vogel was going to kill everyone. I thought that was it. I thought she was the killer. And then last Sunday night, I was like, holy crap! Now I don't have any idea what's going to happen at the end.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, the setup is that Dexter is going to move to Argentina with his lover, Hannah McKay, and live happily ever after with his son, Harrison. So, you know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's the instinct of everyone that has watched that show, I'm sure, that moving off into the sunset and living happily ever after is not what this show has been about from the very first episode. I mean, really,
it's not all peaches and cream.
No.
You know, Yvonne, we were having this conversation yesterday. Dexter's a show we've all been watching since the first one, and we love it, but I'm conflicted as to how I want it to end, only because I feel like a bad person if I'm rooting for a serial killer to get away with it and have a happy ending. You know what I mean? I mean, there's part of me that says, you know, the part that's rooted in the real world says, this bastard deserves to be arrested and go to jail for the rest of his life. But he's been such a compelling and entertaining character for so long, you kind of don't want to see something bad happen to him. I mean, I'm sure you hear that from fans all the time. They're just kind of split, right?
Right. I mean, that's a credit to both the writing and Michael C. Hall's performance. You know, he's managed to create a guy who is normally the bad guy, normally someone that everyone would hate. He's managed to create this likable character. And it's pretty amazing. I definitely took inspiration from him when they gave me Hannah McKay to play with, because she, too, has a history of killing, and it's a challenge to create a likable character that's done some really nasty things in the past.
You do seem like a very nice killer.
She does. I agree.
Hannah definitely thinks so.
Why do you think Hannah moved back to Miami and never made any attempt whatsoever to disguise herself? Change her hair, wear glasses, grow a beard, whatever it takes. Because everywhere you go, people recognize you are going to, because you look exactly the same as when you're splashed all over the news. What do you suppose that's about?
Well, I mean, I think initially she wasn't in Miami. She was sort of with the guy Miles that she married, and now she's hiding away in Deborah's house. So she's not really out and about. Although in the last episode, when Harrison fell off the treadmill, she had to step out into the into the real world and go take him to emergency. So. That was definitely going to throw a spanner in the works, because it looks like the lady recognized her. So
yeah, that was not good things. That was not good. Well, listen, in our remaining moments with Yvonne Strahovski on the phone, I want to ask you about one more thing, because I see on Twitter that you have, it seems like, recently fallen in love with surfing. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
And I was surprised by that, because you're from Australia. I would have thought that you would have grown up surfing, but it's new to you, right?
No, it's really funny, because I'm actually, well, I thought I was terrified of the water. I am. I'm terrified of what's under there, of the sharks. I'm extremely terrified of waves. And by some fluke, I ended up trying it 2 months ago and just fell in love with it. And the love for it is overriding the fear out there. So it's like I'm facing my fears, but it's been really amazing to discover something that brings me so much zen and joy in my life.
Well, don't you dare get hurt. You hear me?
Well, no, I do. I do have a few bruises. I got some nice wounds on my feet that won't heal. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Okay. Well, not the face. I don't ever want to see you on TMZ, like, head first into the beach or something. You protect that face. You do whatever you have to do, okay?
I will.
All right. Two final episodes of Dexter, one of the all-time great series. Of course, it airs Sunday nights on Showtime at 9 o'clock this Sunday, and then it's all over the week after that. Yvonne, I hope we get a chance to talk to you again soon. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Always a pleasure with you guys as well. Thank you so much.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
The creator and the executive producers of Cops join us in studio right after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. What show is better than Cops? I say to you, none, sir, none.
I think they're here to shoot an episode with Kevin. That's what I think. I don't think they're here to do an interview. I think Kevin's going to be putting on his wife beater and will be let out of the studio and pushed in the back of the car.
I didn't do nothing.
That's right.
I have to get my part down.
Do I have to be worried about anything as I go through your pockets? Any knives? Any needles?
You can't do that. I didn't do nothing.
They did show up with some uniformed police officers and a camera, Kevin. I don't want to concern you, but we'll find out what happens coming up right after the top of the hour. More Depeche Mode tickets for you next hour as well. First, though, here's Ralph with the showbiz.
Hey, tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood, it is Hollywood Babylon.
Yay!
Kevin Smith and I will get stoned and drunk, respectively, and do all of the week's entertainment news as well as some of our own patented comedy. So come on by and see us 10 p.m. tonight at the Improv. You can go to improv.com.
You are all going to die tonight.
Probably. Improv.com or BabylonRalph.com to get your details and your tickets. In fact, I'll be giving away some tickets later on in the show during the Showbiz Beat. So,
will Glenda be there?
Glenda is coming tonight. Yeah, we've already
regular.
We've reserved a table for her because she is a big fan. Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth. Someone, say their friends, needs to just bite the bullet and admit their relationship is over. Sources say neither of them really want to be in the relationship anymore, but neither one wants to be the one to say goodbye. Nobody wants to pull the trigger.
Well, what's wrong with him?
This happens in relationships.
Move on.
Well, you don't want to be the bad guy. You don't want to break that person's heart. You don't want to be the one who's called it quits or gave up on the relationship, and the other person feels the same way. So relationships go on. They linger longer, perhaps, than they should.
Also, if you're celebrities, you don't want to be looked at as the bad guy. Right. It makes it probably, there's probably more pressure.
And once you announce your split, then you're opening up a whole new story for the paparazzi and the tabloids to latch on to. So you're right. There may be different elements at play.
Haven't these two been photographed like one time together in the last 6 months?
They're never together anymore.
Yeah.
And word is that Liam Hemsworth has a thing and is seeing on the sly January Jones.
Oh, what an unbelievable upgrade that is.
Yeah, pretty strong. Liam, by the way, is 23 years old. January Jones, 35 years old.
Oh,
but it's a pretty strong 35.
Yes, it is.
And sometimes an older woman can teach you things. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying by things?
Yeah.
I mean, like sex things.
Right. Sexual innuendo.
Like, do that.
Right.
Oh, don't do that.
Right.
Don't put that there or don't put that there.
Right.
Like those kind of things. You know what I'm
Lube
saying?
Lube it up.
Yes, oh, come on. Now you have to just ruin it with that kind of talk. Demi Moore, speaking of cougars, she has an open mind when it comes to love, which I think is nice. She's currently dating the legendary Peter Morton. Owns a little chain of restaurants called the Hard Rock Cafe. You may have heard of him.
Sure.
He is 66 years old, and she really is into him, and her three daughters really like him, so it looks like she may have found love. Interesting little wrinkle. May make things a little awkward at Thanksgiving dinner. Demi used to, of course, date Peter's son, Harry Morton, the 31-year-old Harry Morton. They were in a relationship for a long time. So, I'm just saying, maybe a little... What are you thinking?
You're right. Thanksgiving will be really rough.
Hey, could you pass the yams? And pretty good, huh, Dad? What do you think? No, you were right, son. All those stories you told me about how you used to bone to me more. Now I'm enjoying it as well.
Although
good
it's,
lima
it's,
beans.
It's interesting to think because didn't to me, I mean, she famously used to pal around with her ex-husband Bruce Willis with her current husband Ashton Kutcher at the time, right? They all had a friendly relationship, so she seems to be able to, you know, stay friends with everybody.
They're all boning!
It's a weird dynamic, though, to date the son first and then the dad.
Yes, there is.
Yes.
That's
strange.
You know what? It wouldn't be any weirder if you date the dad first and then the son,
all
by
right.
the way. It's just weird.
Yeah,
across
it is weird.
The board.
Yeah.
That, just don't do that. It's a bad idea.
It seems like there are a lot of people out there.
Yeah, it does seem like that, doesn't
it? You could not date family members.
Hey, this year's Kennedy Center Honor recipients have been revealed. The Kennedy Center Honors, of course, is the national recognition of people in the arts. Happens every year. They pick out five or so people, and they bestow them with this very coveted award. Here, who's getting it this time? Shirley MacLaine, the legendary actress Shirley MacLaine.
Mm-hmm.
Opera soprano Martina Arroyo. Jazz pianist Herbie Hancock. This guy's had an illustrious career. He's done so many things. All I can think of is that
That's
Rocket song whenever I hear his name. Carlos Santana.
Sure.
Say hello to Carlos Santana. And Billy Joel will be the honorees. 36 years of the Kennedy Center honors. Only two Latino artists have ever been recognized.
Wow.
So this is a big year with both Martino Arroyo and Carlos Santana being recognized.
That's a fun show that they do with the president. And
it is, and they always bring their performances friends out and tributes, and they, yeah. Tributes, and it is very entertaining.
Remember Jimmy Kimmel did it last year with David Letterman getting the honor.
That's right. Speaking of Billy Joel, he in 2011, he signed a deal with HarperCollins to write his autobiography called The Book of Joel. $3 million in advance, that's what he got. And then he changed his mind and said, nah, I don't want to do it. Had to give the money back.
Really?
Well, it's back on. The book is back on. Now it's due at Random House in the spring of 2014.
All right, give me the $3 million again.
All right. You know what? I checked my bank account. I'm interested in writing a book again.
Oh, forget it. Here you go.
Everyone hopes that he stays with the book this time because the guy's had a pretty interesting life. He's got a lot
Greetings
of stories,
for losers.
A lot of stories to tell. Well, maybe we can get an audio book or something for you, Beer Mug, so you can appreciate it, too.
How dare you?
One of the revelations, apparently, in the Billy Joel autobiography is the fact that he did indeed start the fire.
Is that right?
Wow, he's finally confessing that?
He comes out and admits it, that after all these years.
How about that?
A liar.
I always suspected. I never bought his alibi.
I had no reason to doubt it.
Well,
he was awfully close to the scene for a guy who claimed he didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, really. And he didn't try to fight it either, by the way.
No, not at all.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer-guitarist Dave Mustaine of Megadeth is 52. Comedian Jeffrey Ross turns 48. Steve Perkins, drummer for Jane's Addiction, is 46. Tyler Perry, actor? Director?
Billionaire?
Yeah, well, that's an exclamation point. It's not a question mark. He's 44 years old today. Singer Fiona Apple turns 36. And actor Ben Savage is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You know, we marvel sometimes on this show about television programs that last 7 years, 8 years. I mean, it's crazy when they go longer than that.
They make 10. It's insane.
Yeah, 10 is insane. That happens to a handful of shows in the history of the medium. What if I tell you that tomorrow night, Cops is premiering its 26th season, ladies and gentlemen. Cops on Spike, its new home tomorrow night. We could not be more excited to welcome John and Morgan Langley. They are, well, I guess John is the creator and executive producer. Morgan is the executive producer of Cops. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, thank you. We're happy to be here.
You're also father and son, right?
Yes we are.
every year, you must be surprised when the network, and for the most of the run it was on Fox, says, yeah, we'll take another. Sure. Yeah, give us a new batch. Absolutely. I mean, it's just, it never ends.
No, it's crazy. It's been on so long, there's two generations of producers, you know? I
mean, you know what's weird is you would think that type of show would get just about as good ratings with the replay, with the rerun.
It
does very well.
It does, right? Yes,
it does, but not quite as well.
But it's been in syndication for over 20 years.
That's absurd.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
How many episodes of Cops have you guys made?
900 and something.
Yeah. Only 900 and something?
Yeah. I'm not even sure now.
It'll be 1,000 one of these days.
Have there ever been any breakout stars in that, like police officers that get a fan base from being featured?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We had John Bunnell. He ended up hosting Wildest Police Chases. Bill Young, who was used to be a lieutenant in Vice in Las Vegas, became the sheriff.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, he was a sheriff for 4 years. And a guy that's about to become the next sheriff, Joe Lombardo, who is an assistant sheriff, was on Cops as a rookie.
Vegas is to Cops Vegas is to gambling, right?
Absolutely. We love Vegas.
That's where you don't have to leave Vegas.
Hey, you get suspects from everywhere in the country.
I know. Big surprise. Yes, Vegas is featured this season.
Is that right?
What cities or states do you generally shoot Cops in? And is the reason you choose those places because of it's easier to film there?
Well, we've got relationships with a lot of these departments. We've been doing it for a long time now. So, you know, we go back to where we're kind of invited and where we're welcome, rather. But it's a road show. We want to go all over the country. We want to have a little bit of the Midwest, a little bit of the West.
What's the most boring city as far as Cops? In other words, they're well-behaved people.
Oh, God, the most boring.
It's probably Podunk somewhere. I mean, we try all kinds of different things.
Yeah, the smaller the department, the harder it is to get material, obviously. You want some crime base, as it were.
Sure. You need the bad guys.
Yeah, you need some activity. So I mean, listen, the bigger metropolitan areas obviously have more crime, but there's crime everywhere. We've filmed in, you know, Julian down by San Diego and the boondocks and stuff happens. It happens everywhere.
Yeah. You know, why do you suppose police officers say yes to you following them around with their cameras?
Well, you know, originally they weren't too hot about it.
I imagine that would be difficult at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because it does seem like it would make their job harder.
Well, you know, there was a guy named Nick Navarro that we filmed the original with, and he was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that area, Broward County. Mm-hmm. And he said, ah, come on down, let the chips fall where they may. But he's a sheriff, and sheriffs are only elected. They don't have to answer to city managers. They don't have to kiss anybody's rears. They just, you know, they got to worry about the voters. So. And he said, let's be, you know, we want transparency. We want to show what we do.
Wow, that's a shock. Had he not said that, did you have any other?
That guy had guts because at that time, I mean, it was almost, nowadays they're familiar with the show and they're fans of the show.
But you're trying to
talk
them.
But back then, I mean, come on, nobody knew what it was going to be. And it was
the only reason he went along with it is I'd done a show in the mid 80s called American Vice with live drug bust and his department was in it. And he knew that, you know, I did everything I said I was going to do and all that kind of stuff. So he said, all right, well, what the hell?
Now, John, you told us during the song there that your son was almost on Cops.
Well, you know, I have a couple of sons, and when they were being raised, you know, as teenagers, Morgan came to me one day and said, ah, Pops, my friend was on Cops last night. I said, well, which friend
that is
this?
True. That is true.
There was a friend there was on Cops?
Well, I don't know if he was my friend, but there was a guy who, you'd have to be a Hermosa Beach local kind of skateboarding person to remember who this guy was, but a good half-pipe skateboarder that we all knew from around the way who was on Cops.
A little of that Dogtown stuff.
You know? Sure. And were you there?
No.
Okay.
No.
So
no.
Just your friend.
He was at some party, you know, at my house that was unauthorized.
Great,
you know, while I was out of town.
Because you were out shooting cops.
Yeah, you got it. And he's partying now with his teenage hoodlums.
My takeaway, and again, these are the voices of John and Morgan Langley on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Fox coming back for its new season tomorrow night, now on Spike at 8 o'clock. My two takeaways from all the years that I've spent watching Cops, you guys, is A, I am so impressed with police officers in this country. How they stay calm, how they don't break out a can of whoop ass for every single smart ass that gets up in their face. I mean, the patience that they show is remarkable.
Yeah, it's
and
tough.
Thing two is America is drunk.
You noticed.
Our nation is drunk.
You noticed.
But at least people are smart when they're drunk. And
they're
so that's good. You got that going for you.
What is the percentage of people that have been arrested over the years on Cops that are plastic? It has to be north of 80,
high.
Right?
Yeah, I put it up around 90.
90?
Yeah.
No, people talk about drugs and crime, but the real secret is alcohol and
booze.
Crime.
Booze. Let's face it.
I mean,
ladies
if you get
gentlemen.
Drunk and you go out and you do everything. I mean,
so without booze, you wouldn't have a show either.
Probably
no.
Not.
No. No. Absolutely.
Without wife beaters, without alcohol.
Booze. It's all about booze.
And a lot of stupid white people.
Yeah. You know, I heard McCain earlier on your show, and I tend to agree with him, you know. Just legalize pot. What
that's
the
what we've been saying.
There are no violent homicides with pot.
Yeah, you couldn't make a show around those people.
Not so much.
But you want to see some juicers running out there? Oh, man.
Yeah. Potheads are not generally good TV.
No, of course not. They just want to take a nap.
We have to take a very quick break, gentlemen. Sorry to interrupt, but we have many more questions than we have over the years of Cops. And we also want to talk about what we're going to – I assume you already know what the episode is going to be for tomorrow night, right? I want to find out a little bit more about that. And so much more with John and Morgan Langley. We're talking Cops here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock.
All I'm doing is asking for your ID. I had a right to stop you. I'm asking for your ID. I'm not trumping up a charge, bro. Give me your ID. I got plenty of chances to tase you.
Taser ain't going to work. Try it, and I bet I take it from you.
Yeah. You try and tase me. I'll take it from you.
The executive producers of the TV show Cops are in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. John and Morgan Langley. Cops premieres tomorrow night on its new home, Spike TV, at 8 o'clock. How much tasing has gone on over the years on your show, boys?
Well, we did a segment called Tased and Confused.
I like it.
Have you ever been in a situation where the thing that your officers have shown up to respond to has gotten way out of control, where it ended up being like a super big time shootout or a bomb went off or anything that was just like stumbled into something that was way bigger than you expected.
We had we ended up in a party riot once, and one of our cameramen got hit with the 2x4 in the camera. Unfortunately, the camera was between him and the 2x4. This first night out, the poor guy, I really felt sorry.
It was his first
night out.
Welcome to being a cop's
cameraman. So you know, he learned his lesson really quickly.
Now, all these people that are on that show, you videotape them, and then they have to give you their okay, right?
You know what? It's just amazing. And in the early days,
is it? But that's right.
You have to ask
their permission.
They all sign.
And Everybody. The ones that look like idiots.
But the crazy part is not only do they sign, but nowadays they sign up enthusiastically.
They do.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, could you let me know, like follow up and let me know when my segment's going to air, man?
The one I like is they'll say, get that news camera out of my face. And so now our guys identify themselves. We're with cops. And they go, oh, cool.
All right.
My cousin was on the show.
Have you had repeats?
We have been on the show
more than once.
Absolutely. One guy, what was the record? It was two or three times.
From Alaska.
He was arrested different states.
And then Tennessee.
What?
Oh, wow. And then Las Vegas.
Same guy.
Yeah,
he must have thought you were following him.
We had one guy that was arrested for stealing a car like 4 years ago, and then like a week ago, he's rearrested for the same thing.
Wow.
In Las Vegas with the same excuse.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Now, do you guys ever get tips from the perps? Like, you're in Vegas, and they call you up and go, all right, I'm about to steal a car. I'm going to be at the corner.
It would make it easier, but no, we don't.
Have you ever rolled up on someone, arrested someone, and that person turned out to be a police officer?
Ex-cops. Yeah, ex-cop. That's happened a couple of times. With it, not current ones, but ex-ones.
What can you tell us about, even if it's not tomorrow night, about the new season, some of the new footage that we haven't seen yet that's debuting this
year? You know
what,
I will say this. It's one of the strongest seasons of Cops we've done in a long time. And the reason is, after we left Fox, like, our guys were fired up. Everybody was fired up to do a show for a new network. You know, we've been preempted by sports over and over again. So it was kind of just like a kick in the pants to start over somewhere else and get some revitalization.
Yeah, and Spike has been great, and I think the show has found its perfect home, to be honest.
How many hours of tape do you need to make an episode?
It's phenomenal. Oh, 100.
100 hours to make a half hour.
Here's the example. Like, it's three segments. Cops is a three-segment show. They're each about 6 minutes and change. So to get one airable six-and-a-half-minute segment, one crew will have to ride for at least 5 days, 10 hours a night to get that one segment. That's the average. Yeah.
And then it might not make it.
Wow.
That's the average. It's just a phenomenal amount of tape. And
so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of paperwork and guys writing reports. We're not going to show you that because it's boring.
Right.
So we pick the most exciting, interesting stuff, obviously.
Well, you guys are doing the Lord's work, man. The show is always great, and we're very excited that you're making new episodes and that we can see it starting tomorrow night. Hey, here's a tip, though. John, you were telling us during the song something I didn't know about. There's a Cops porn parody?
There is.
I got it in the mail. It said, we want to thank you for your show. And I said, what is this? It's one of these.
Is it called Cops?
It's called This Is Not
Cops. This Ain't Cops.
This Ain't Cops. This Ain't Cops. So I had to watch it just to see what's
going on. The frisking went a little further than you were used to.
The frisking was very frisky.
It's got to be so weird to see topless girls on the show instead of topless guys like we're so used to.
It was shocking.
Yeah, that's a change.
And bottomless.
Well, tomorrow night on Spike, it's 26th season, ladies and gentlemen. Cops returns, so definitely set that up. You don't want to miss it. John and Morgan, so great to meet you guys and have you in. We really appreciate it. We got to take a break and come back and give away some Depeche Mode tickets. If you want to go see Depeche Mode at Staples Center, we can hook you up. You'll have to earn them. We got a game for you. You can call right now if you're a fan. 1-800-520-1067, and we'll play right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39.
Why is she wearing a sweater if it's got holes in it?
What's going on? Wait, why is Joe Pesci here? What's happening?
I understand why you wear a sweater when it's got holes in it, Henry.
There's no one named Henry here, Joe. Hey, listen, we're going to give away some Depeche Mode tickets here. They're playing Staples Center at the end of the month. 1-800-520-1067. Oh, I see why Joe is here, because we're playing this game.
When you want to go see Depeche Mode at
Staples Center.
Depeche a la mode. Depeche a la mode. Joe Pesci's going to ask you questions about ice cream. Depeche a la mode. Depeche a la mode. Oh, when you think we can't get any worse, we do stuff like this. Depeche a la mode. Depeche a la mode.
Look, in our defense, we have to come up with a lot of games.
I don't even understand what this game means. Why am I here for Depeche mode?
Because your name is Pesci, I think, and that's sort of close to Depeche.
Because Pesci's in Pesci, you guys have me in here?
Yes, and then Alamode, you ask questions about ice cream.
I can't believe I got up early this morning for this.
So this is Joe Pesci now asking questions about ice cream.
And so, Joe, you would
tell
be
you
best.
This time to check better clear, right? You guys are in big trouble.
You would be best known to our listeners from what? From Goodfellas, from Home
right,
Alone,
Goodfellas.
Lethal Weapon, all those kinds of movies.
Yeah, I've done a lot of movies. How many have you done?
I haven't done any.
Shut up before I put a bullet in your head.
I want to make sure our listeners know who we're talking to here. So Joe Pesci is here. And
I know who I'm talking to here. You
right,
do know
right.
who you're talking to here?
He's going to be asking the callers questions about ice cream, I guess. And if they get them right, they go into the drawing. At least at the end, only one person will win tickets to Depeche Mode. Are we ready to play the game?
Yep.
Yes,
they F you at the drive-thru. They F you at the drive-thru.
<All right. laughs> Let's start with Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, morning, guys.
You understand the concept? Have we over-explained it yet?
No, it's good enough.
Okay.
We ask you a trivia question about ice cream. How stupid do you think this guy is?
Yes, Joe.
All right. This premium ice cream is meant to sound Scandinavian, but it was really made by a Polish guy in the Bronx in 1961.
Haagen-Dazs?
Look at this guy over here. Look
wow.
at this guy coming up with a Haagen-Dazs.
Would you have guessed he would have come up with that?
Not a million years.
Not at all.
You're pretty smart there, Dennis. You're pretty smart.
All right. Dennis is in the drawing. Who's our next contestant?
Our next is Brendan. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Brendan, what kind of hell name is Brendan?
I know, the one my parents gave me, I guess.
Yeah, what's he supposed to do about
it? Shoot this guy.
Okay. We don't do that now.
He's just calling to win tickets, Joe. Come on, help him out.
Neapolitan ice cream refers to a block of ice cream composed of layers of what three different flavors?
Strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate.
Yes!
Look at this guy, Brendan, with that name. He comes up with that answer.
All right, Brendan, you're in the drawing. Thank you. Hold on. Again, Joe Pesci is here asking questions about ice cream. That's the game?
Depeche a la mode.
Bobby, wait, you think it's funny, Bean? You think it's funny? Funny how? How am I funny to you?
Oh, it's just, it's unusual. It doesn't really have anything to do with Depeche
Mode. You're unusual, you giant freak.
Okay. I'm
Bobby
sorry,
is on the line. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Bobby is
a broad name, Bobby?
Yes, and she's a forklift driver.
I bet she is. But she's also a clam driver.
So just give her her question if you don't mind.
In 1939, the world's first soft... Let me try this again. In 1939, the world's first soft-serve ice cream machine was used in what royal-sounding ice cream store?
That would have to be Baskin-Robbins, maybe?
Oh.
Yeah, nothing sounds more royal than Baskin-Robbins.
Sorry, it was Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen!
Yeah, see, because it's...
Queen forgot to take you back on the forklift.
All right, take it easy.
Thank you, Bobby. Sorry you didn't win. All right, Dennis
You're
is
sorry.
In the drawing.
I'm sorry, I thought it this whole bit.
Brendan is in the drawing. Who's next?
Next is Robert. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, Robert, here's your question. Italian ice cream, which is the best ice cream, by the way, because Italians made it.
Right.
Has a higher density and less butterfat. What's it called?
Gelato.
Nicely
Look
done.
At this guy. Look at this guy with a gelato answer. Getting it right.
You
Look
got
at
it right.
Shine box.
Joe, you seem awfully amped up and kind of cranky today. What's going on?
Amped up? You don't say that. You want to come amped up? Come here. I'll show you amped up. I'll hit you with a crow by a 2x4.
I want to fight. No one wants to fight, Joe. I just want to make sure you're okay. You're having a good time.
Let's talk to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Chris, in 1987, this Vermont ice cream company created a flavor in honor of the Grateful Dead's lead singer.
That's Baskin Robbins.
Holy crap. One more guy says Baskin Robbins.
I'm gonna... Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. I asked for the company, you stupid bastard.
Take it easy, Joe, for God's sake.
One guy says Baskin Robbins.
It's just a contest.
I'm right in the teeth on the curb is what I'm going to do.
All right. Sorry. It was Ben and Jerry, but that was not your answer. Thank you for the call.
All right. I think we have time for just one more contestant.
Bottom,
I'm sorry to say.
Go to number eight, then.
Go to number eight. All right. Let's go to Henry. Hi, Henry.
Henry, I'm watching you, Henry. I'm watching you, Henry. I know you son of a bitch.
Hello, Henry.
Hey, Joe Pesci, how are you?
You ratted me out, Henry. You ratted me out. I hope
He's
you don't win
caller.
This. I hope you don't win this.
Just a caller. Just tried to win Depeche Mode tickets, Joe. You didn't rat you out.
All right. The very first ice cream novelty bar was made in 1919. It was called the Ice Cream Bar, but they later changed its name to something that sounds like it's made... Watch your mouth. Jeez, I thought I had a potty mouth. This guy dropping those S-bombs. What did they change the name of this novelty ice cream bar to?
Is it a Klondike bar? Is it a Klondike bar?
No, I'm sorry. Eskimo pie. It's an Eskimo pie.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Whale blubber, igloo, those were the
those
hits.
Those were the freaking hits. You should have gotten it from that, for God's sakes.
All right, so Dennis is in. Brandon is
Henry
in.
Rattie
is that
up,
it?
And Robert.
And Robert. They got those three. Lisa May, only one can win. Who goes to see Depeche Mode?
It is Dennis.
Dennis. Yeah. First person we talked to. Dennis.
I like the way you do that. That broad over there just pulls a piece of paper out there. You give somebody something.
Dennis, congratulations.
Thank you guys so much.
Depeche Mode tickets. Joe Pesci, thank you.
I'm going to whack you guys.
I hope you don't, but thank you. Depeche Alamo. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Shut up.
No! And you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
So they said, I've got a high-end trailer park.
Not at all. Hey, speaking of beer mug, real quick, Ralph, this doesn't have
fire
anything
him, right?
to do with the fact, obviously, okay. This doesn't have anything to do with the fact that beer mug turns 30 tomorrow. This yeah. is unrelated to that.
Okay.
But coming up after the top of the hour, we are going to be looking for people to tell us what they have accomplished by time they turn 30. Okay? Again, not to rub in that beer mug is fat and
it's unrelated.
A girlfriend.
Unrelated.
And still
completely
lives at home
unrelated.
Is making less than minimum wage. Not to rub any of that in. We're looking for people who have had tremendous accomplishments. You could be 22 now. You could be 28. As long as you accomplished what you're telling us about before you were 30, we're going to want to hear from you after the top of the
hour.
You
could be 40 now, say, sure. But when I was 19, well, yeah. I came up with an app that made me a gazillionaire.
Or I'm exactly. 12 and I'm in college. You know, any right. of the above.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with beer mug turning 30.
No, right? Whatsoever. So is it okay? Can we open up the phones, Ralph? You don't need them, right?
No, feel free. All
right. So 1-800-520-1067. If you've got multiple degrees or have had sex with 80 women or invented
or
something
that made
you a
parents.
Millionaire or don't live with your parents.
For example, would be an achievement some people would achieve before 30.
What did you do before 30? Give us a call. It will, again, nothing to do with beer mug turning 30.
No,
it's just unrelated. It's interesting to get put our finger on the pulse of what our listeners are all about. We'll talk to you coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
Or if you're liked by your coworkers.
Even that would be.
If you've ever left food on a plate, we want to hear from you.
Achievement.
Again, unrelated.
Of course. I'm not talking about anyone in particular. Best wishes to Peter Mayhew. We're all thinking about you, Chewie. He, of course, was the giant in the Wookiee suit who played Chewbacca in all the Star Wars movies. Peter's now 69 and had to have both knees replaced and is currently enjoying a stay in the hospital in Texas. They had to build artificial knees for him because they just didn't have knees in his size.
Wow, that's crazy.
That is nuts. Imagine having such a unique body type that someone would have to go out of their way and make a custom-made body part for you.
Let me hear the short one again, Bean.
He's not that impressed.
Every time he walks, that's the sound he makes.
He's been wheelchair-bound for the past couple years, so they're hopeful that this will get him up and walking again. It's a lot to take on a 69, by the way. First of all, the operation and then the rehab and physical therapy he's going to have to get through in order to get to the level where he can walk again. So pretty brave. It's just a great noise, isn't it?
Poor Chewie. He's having a rough go on.
Benedict Cumberbatch. You know him from Star Trek Into Darkness. That movie just came out on Blu-ray and DVD this week. Interesting article in The Hollywood Reporter did an interview talking about his brush with death.
Oh.
His near-death experience. Was filming a miniseries in, as he says, in a notoriously dangerous area of South Africa. When the vehicle got a flat that he was driving to the set in, Benedict and two friends tried to change the tire, but they had to take all the luggage out of the car in order to get to the spare.
Right.
That's when some guys came by, six guys, as a matter of fact, jumped out of a car and kidnapped them all at gunpoint.
Wow.
Wow.
Cumberbatch got stuffed into the trunk of the car, was bound with ropes and gagged.
This is for real? This happened?
This happened.
Oh, my God.
And after the six men robbed them of everything they owned, the men decided to just leave them alive.
Wow. Lucky.
Lucky indeed. Cumberbatch says this experience gave him a new perspective and being so close to death really, really enriches your values in life. So maybe next week we can open the phone to near-death experiences because it's something else.
It seems to happen a lot.
Sure does. Tonight, by the way, speaking of near-death experiences, Kevin Smith and I will be on stage doing our Hollywood Babylon TV show, live comedy show, Actually, though, we,
was that a slip or?
We announced last week that we're doing a pilot for a Hollywood Babylon TV series for AMC, the AMC network. So that's what I was thinking about. But we're doing the live show tonight at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood, 10 p.m. tonight. Love to have you come out and join us. Next Showbiz Beat, I'll be giving away some free tickets. So,
no.
Yeah, I will. I promise. Go to improv.com or BabylonRalph.com to get you tickets. Come on out and see us. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer, guitarist Dave Mustaine of Megadeth is 52 years old today. Comedian Jeff Ross turns 48. Steve Perkins of Jane's Addiction is 46. Tyler Perry's 44. Fiona Apple turns 36. You know, she needs more words in her titles for her albums. That's
I agree.
She's lacking.
Too short.
She's too brief. And Ben Savage, the actor and brother of Fred, is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. K-Rock. Cage the Elephant crashes the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock for a special Friday night show at 6 p.m. on September 20th. This intimate performance is invite only. The only way in is to win. Go to krock.com for your chance to be a part of this special show. On Friday, September 20th at the Red Bull Sound Space. Visit krock.com for more details and to watch the live webcast.
Hi, this is Bo Bachman from Galpin Ford. We're in the final stretch of our race to sell 10,000 vehicles this summer, the Galpin 10,000. We have only 2 weeks left, and we still need to sell nearly 1,000 vehicles. We literally need to make every deal possible in order to hit our goal, and that's exactly what we plan on doing. Here are just a few examples. On many new Fords, right now at Galpin Ford, you can get 0% APR financing for 60 months. Plus, huge rebates. Get $1,000 towards your down payment without a penny out of your pocket. Incredible lease deals. And, of course, all of this is on top of the great Galpin deal. So please, help Galpin hit our goal of selling 10,000 vehicles this summer and help yourself to an absolutely incredible deal.
Galpin Ford, conveniently located just off the 405 freeway at the Roscoe Boulevard exit in the heart of the San Fernando Valley. Call 1-800-GO-GALPIN or visit galpin.com. 0% APR on approved credit plus finance of FMCC. 1667 per thousand borrow. Down payment amount varies based on credit approval. See Galpin for details. Sale ends 9/23/13.
I am an angler, a hero and defender of the sacred angling way of life. I outfit my crew with enough gear, tackle, and neon marshmallows to track down the most delicious water-based life forms. And I make sure everyone on my boat wears a life jacket. That's the rule on my craft. Put on the life jacket or hit the pavement, which in this case is made of water.
Be a hero. Rate your boating safety smarts at BoatCalifornia.com. If it's your boat, it's your responsibility. A message from the Department of Boating and Waterways.
Want to earn your degree but not sure where to start? Let schools.com help. Call 1-855-255-5128. Toll free now to have one of our advisors help you figure out which degree programs might be right for you. They'll also recommend online and campus schools that offer those programs, making it easier for you to take the next step towards earning the education you want. So what are you waiting for? Start online now at schools.com or call us toll free at 1-855-255-5128.
Constructive. That's the diplomat's way of saying we haven't done anything yet.
It has to be real. It has to be comprehensive. It has to be verifiable. It has to be credible. It has to be timely.
John Kerry's first round of talks with the Soviet foreign minister in Geneva, subject Syria and sarin and mustard gas. Car bombs were all the Taliban needed. No Americans killed in the attack on our consulate in the Afghan city of Herat. Other people's weather. From Boulder and the University down through Denver and Commerce City to Colorado Springs. The water's washing down from the Front Range, flooding things out.
Water's about 3 foot deep or a little better.
Oh, man. It's up to your knees. Got to be at least 2 feet.
Authorities went around Boulder last night close to midnight with loudspeakers saying, get to higher ground if you're near the creek. Do not try to cross any of the bridges because you could get caught.
Our forecast, 85 to 100. 64 at K-Rock. I'm Doc of the Rock.
Always on radio.com. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ FM and HD2. Pasadena, Los Angeles, Orange County. The world. Famous K-Rock.
I can lift you up. I can show you.
what you want to see and take you where you want to be. You could be my luck. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound. I can lift you up.
K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. I just want to mention that we talked to Yvonne Strahovski, thank you, earlier this morning about Dexter, and Sarah Shahi tweeted us to say hi to her because they jumped in a swimming pool at a party together at one point.
What?
And so
how did the water in that pool not boil from both of them being in it?
And so then people started asking for photos, and so we tweeted one out from at Kevin and Bean if you would like to.
Sarah Shahi and Yvonne Strahovski together in a pool.
Yes.
Well, they had to at least kiss, right?
Of course.
I would think.
That's the next step.
Jeez. Cousin Sal talks NFL football later this hour. Right now, and Beer Mug, this doesn't have anything to do with you, so don't feel like you need to weigh in, but we're talking about the remarkable things that some of our listeners have accomplished before they turned 30. And I don't want you to feel like you need to compare their lives to yours, Mugs, because I know you're turning 30 tomorrow. For instance, Jody writes in, I graduated from high school at 16, graduated from college at 20. That's Jody in Huntington Beach.
That's 10 years before 30. That's crazy.
And she doesn't say it here, but I assume she's not living in her parents' basement like some people are. But let's take some calls here at 1-800-520-1067. While we're talking education, we might as well start with Clayton. He's on line two. Let's find out what he had done by the time he was 30.
Clayton.
Hi.
You did what before you were 30?
I graduated with my PhD in psychology.
PhD. All right.
Okay. So you're a doctor before 30. That's good, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so.
Sure.
It's
all
right. A lot of fun.
Beer Mug is very close to that. I mean, not that this has anything to do with him, but he's very close to being a doctor.
Hey, he might get his doctorate between now and midnight. He might. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try David. David's on line seven. He's up next on the Kevin Beach Show.
All right. Hi, David.
Before the age of 21, I'd worked in the governor's office. Before the age of 24, I'd worked for the state speaker, and I've been engaged for 30 and living on my own for at least 6 years. Go, Beer Mug.
Oh, no, this has nothing to do with Beer Mug.
No, he's just saying hi.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Thank you, David.
Let's try Ronnie. He's on line three. 1-800-520-1067. What did you accomplish before you were 30 that you're proud of? Ronnie.
Hey. I'm 20 right now, and I have my own management company. I manage a multi-platinum songwriter, one of the biggest guitarists in the industry. And a few other writers and producers.
Hmm. How did you get all those people on board with you at 20?
I met my first client in school, and she believed that I could be a great manager, and I stuck with her for a couple of years until, we just...
So 20. Business. Did that at 20 years old.
Yep. Hmm. All right. I've been living alone since I was 17, and I'm about to graduate USC in a few months.
Good for you. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that.
Wow, that's impressive.
Kevin and Lisa and I were doing mornings at K-Rock when we were 30.
That's right. And all living on our own.
Let's try Garrett. He's on line two. Muggs, you're not saying much. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
This has nothing to do with
Don't
you.
Cry.
This doesn't have anything to do with you, but I'm looking at your face. Looking at your sad, fat face. All right, Garrett, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Good. Very good. Thank you.
So I'm 27, and this year I decided that I wanted to be an author of books, so I published 4 books this year, and I have another 2 coming out before the end of the year.
Dude, Stephen King?
Yeah, what are you writing about, Garrett? I mean, look, anyone can write a book if it's crappy, but are your books good?
Well, people think so. You know, I don't have any book that's, like, rated below 4 stars on Amazon. It's science fiction, it's fantasy, you know, I'm not, like, doing treatises about the Roman emperors of history, but, you know, I think it's pretty good.
All right.
Are you making some money off of it?
That's what I do for a living now.
Wow.
That's very impressive.
Take it easy. This isn't about you. You don't have to look so down.
Why is he crying? Why is Bugs crying?
Thank you for the call, Garrett. We appreciate it.
All right. We have time for a couple more. How about Aaron? He's on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Aaron. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
Hi. So I'm 27, and I've been to 25 different countries.
Oh, my gosh.
25 wow. countries?
Yeah, so after I graduated college, I went to Europe with some of my friends for 6 weeks and did the backpacking thing. Went to 20 different countries in 6 weeks, and then every single year since then, I've been going to a new country.
Muggs has been to Vegas.
A lot.
I've been to 25 different Del Taco locations in Southern California.
That's for sure.
This isn't about you, though. I don't know why you're bringing you up.
Thank you very much for the call. Christian writes in, I bought my first house when I was 24. How old were you, Muggs? You remember when you bought your first one?
I didn't buy my first one at 24. I rented my first one. And the reason I'm living with my parents right now is because I got myself incredible financial credit debt. And now I'm back, and I'm still paying rent.
Dude,
but it's only for the time being.
This is not about
me.
You.
I know.
You're so narcissistic.
Let's try Amy. Amy's up next on line six here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Amy, what'd you accomplish before you were 30?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I'm 25 and I've become a national sales manager and I'm on my way to making six figures.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Very impressive.
5 years short of where Muggs is tomorrow. Not that this has anything to do with him. Thank you, Amy.
I think we're going to leave it there, but what are your plans, son? Where are you headed? What's going on?
I'm staying in this studio for the rest of my life.
I'm just saying, don't feel like... Like, sometimes it's important, like, you know, you push the bird out of the nest so that the bird can fly. You know?
I got nowhere to go.
You're just here because you're homeless?
Very excited to be able to play this tape for you, Kevin, because you have not heard it yet.
No,
at least you haven't heard it yet either, right?
No.
I love this stuff, though. When people lose it, we need to start
too.
A new feature, when people lose it.
You know, last time we talked, we did a phone topic last year about what was the last time you cried. Remember that?
Sure.
And you were surprised that I admitted that the last time that I had cried was on a customer service phone call for some company. I can't remember who it was. Phone company, cable, something.
Because none of us believe that your eyes work that way.
I cried like a little girl.
You cry like a robot cries.
Because I spent like 2 hours on the phone trying to get something pretty simple accomplished, and I just kept getting into just an endless maze of voicemails and people who were unhelpful or stupid. And customer service can be one of the most frustrating things that ever happens to you. But, we've all been there.
But I don't know that most people's reaction is crying. I think most people's reaction is what we're about to hear.
This is a guy, we do not know what the company is. Apparently, the pieces that have been put together, that I've read anyway, say that it's a company in Canada. This call was recorded a couple of years ago, and none of the people involved apparently are identifying themselves. The person who's on the tape as Mark, who is the poor customer service guy who took this call, no longer works for the company. We don't know what kind of company it was, but the caller apparently has been all day long trying to get some problem resolved, and he got a little bit of help from somebody named Michelle, and now he's just trying to get Michelle, whoever she is, back on the phone.
Oh, I've been in that loop.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
an endless loop. Yeah. Oh, I don't even know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I've gotten that.
Can I help
there's
you?
There's nobody here by that name.
Right.
So let's see how this goes. It's an 8-minute call. We'll only have time to hear a couple of minutes, but let's hear how this goes.
Thank you for calling technical support. My name is Mark. How are you doing today?
I am absolutely... I am your worst nightmare. I am calling extension 3575 over and over and over and goddamn over again to reach Michelle, who said to call her there. She wants to talk to me. She's been dealing with my situation for 2 days now, and I've been on the phone for 3 hours trying to reach her, and every time I call that goddamn number, I get your department, and none of you know what the f*** I'm talking about. What kind of a goddamn situation is this?
Now, all Mark has said so far is, thank you for calling. How's your day going?
And he seemed like he was genuinely a nice guy and in a good mood.
Poor Mark.
How may I help you? I'm your worst nightmare.
That's his opening shot at this new
person.
Wow. That's how the conversation starts. So I'm impressed with how Mark takes it all in stride and comes back.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that, sir. Could I get the phone number on your account?
Why? The last two people that asked for the phone number put me on hold and never... came back.
So I would ask you why.
All right. What do you do? At this point, if I'm Mark in customer service, I say, I apologize. I understand your frustration. I'm going to connect you immediately to a supervisor.
To a manager or supervisor, yes.
I just try to get out of this conversation. I don't want to have anything to do with this guy.
And by the way, let me just say, I feel bad for the guy that's taking the call, but we've all been the guy that's calling. And it can be that infuriating.
I mean, why do you always have to put in your phone number, your account number, and then as soon as you get to a person, they ask
same
you the
again.
Exact same thing again?
I don't know.
What's the point of that?
I don't know, but that's so funny because the guy said, just give me your number. Why?
Because you know he's already given sure. his number to like 30 people today, and it doesn't do any good. All right, there's more.
The reason I get your phone number is so that I can pull up your account and see any notes in the system. I don't see what good the notes are going to do. I need to be transferred to Michelle. If there's no Michelle, then you people are going to get sued. Not to mention, I might go ballistic and come over there with a machine gun. I don't have one, but I'll go try to acquire one. You don't do this to somebody. You don't do this to somebody. You didn't show up for your appointments yesterday. You didn't show up for your appointment today. And now you won't talk to me? That is f***ed up. That is outrageous. You're contracted to help me. You have to. You have to. What the f***? What is going on? Who is this Michelle and why is she telling me to call her knowing that I can't reach her? And why does nobody there know who she is? This is all f***ed up.
Kevin, you have never enjoyed anything more than you are enjoying
this. I love this so much. And there has to be a better threat than I'm going to go try and acquire a machine gun.
Well, I think
I don't
realize,
have one yet, but yeah. I sure am going to start that process.
I wonder if, as mad as he is, he knew as the words machine gun came out of his mouth that maybe that was taking it too far, so he kind of wanted to backpedal on that. I don't have a machine gun.
Right.
But
so you can't threaten people like that.
No, the cops will show up at your door right away.
But the amount of rage that's coming from this caller is...
I mean, I don't love it, but we've all been there.
Right. But this is the kind of rage that you save for you have a chance to talk to the guy who murdered your family before he's sentenced. That's the kind of rage this guy has.
Maybe that's
right?
What this company did. We don't know.
Well, yeah, we don't know, man. You're right.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that, sir. Can I get the verbal password in the account, sir?
No, you may not. I will pick that up with Michelle.
Okay, yeah. So can I get Michelle's extension again?
357.
Nice edit, Bean.
Sorry, I missed that one. I told you there were hundreds of them.
Good editing.
So he says that is effed up.
Okay, yeah. What I'd just like to do is transfer you to that extension. Would that be okay?
No, that would not be okay. You don't think I'm capable of dialing that extension over and over again?
You can either tell me a little bit about what's going on and I can try to help you, or I can transfer you to that phone number. Which would you prefer?
You can't f***ing tell that you can't help me, and you can't f***ing tell that transferring me there doesn't do any good. If you don't put me on the phone with somebody who can help me, God damn it, no!
This poor guy who's taking the call is willing to try at least, but this guy won't give him any of his information, so there's literally nothing this guy can do.
That's right. He won't let you transfer him. He won't let you put him on hold. He won't give you his information so that you can look at his account. What is this poor person supposed to do?
If I'm him, honestly, I just go, please hold, and just click right on hold just quickly.
And then run from the building.
And then run and change your name and move.
But don't you think he could call that extension and see if there's anyone there? For the guy, and then come back and go, you're right, there's no one there.
I think he's willing to do that, but he'd have to put the guy on hold in order to, and the guy says, do not put me on hold.
What if he puts the phone down and then walks and gets a supervisor or a manager or something?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, who knows what the setup is like there? All right, do we have time for any more?
Yes, we do. Nope, we have time.
What I'd like to do is just get you to talk to a supervisor, and maybe they can maybe deal with that problem a little bit better, sir. Would that be okay?
I've been through that loop 3 times already, God damn it. I want you to explain to me right now why, when I called the extension, she told me to, I always get put into the tech department, and the tech department doesn't know anything about it! How can you treat a customer that way? How many supervisors do you want me to speak to that can't help me?
Yeah, I'm so sorry, sir.
How many hours do you want me to stay on the phone? I've been on the phone since 6 o'clock my time. That's 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that, sir.
No, you're not. If you were sorry, you'd f***ing do something.
Yeah, what I'd like to do is maybe have you talk to a supervisor. I can either transfer you...
I've done that already, and they say they can't help me. It's f***ed up. Why can't I reach the 50-50 department?
You know, I'm not sure why that isn't working. If you'd like, I could transfer you.
I don't think this is going to end well for anybody.
This guy is a saint, though, isn't he?
Yes.
The guy that's taking the call?
Amazingly well. Amazingly well.
Oh, I think, see, at the beginning, my instinct is to put him on hold immediately and just try to push him off on somebody else. But at the end, I may be egging this guy on.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to start screwing with him? That's what this guy needs.
Yeah. Yeah, give me your number again. That's, I love that.
Good times. Our man, Cousin Sal's got a pretty busy schedule. Of course, he's working full-time over there with his cousin Jimmy Kimmel on their late-night talk show. He has the Grantland.com prop blog that goes up every Friday afternoon, and he does a podcast about the NFL with Bill Simmons, the sports guy, on Mondays, and he talks to us, too, about the NFL line each weekend as well. Hey, Cousin Sal, welcome back to the Kevin DeBede Show, my friend. How are you?
And out of everything, I can honestly say this is my favorite of my many, many obligations.
You are lying.
No, I really do like it.
I took a lot of heat on Monday when Andrew Siciliano was here in studio talking about how much I hate Thursday night football and how awful most of the games are, and it's just a money grab. And I feel somewhat vindicated after last night's terrible, terrible game. Am I wrong, Cousin Sal, or is Thursday night a thing that you like?
No, I don't like it that much. I don't know. I can't argue against football every day because I do love the game, but these games for some reason are cursed. They are so subpar compared to the others, and I don't know. I feel bad for Tom Brady, and I hate to say it, but I think it's just a matter of days, if not hours, before we start hearing Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens' names thrown in the mix, because these inexperienced receivers are treating the ball like it's got SARS. Really, I don't know what's going on.
Nice callback to SARS.
When was the last time you saw a quarterback, an NFL professional, throw a tantrum like Brady did last night?
Yeah, it was really bad. Not since Phil Rivers was in the league. Oh, wait, he's still in the league.
He's in the league still, yeah.
Well, Cousin Sal was 1-1-1 last week. I know the Raiders were surprisingly powerful last week, and that was something that hinged up a little bit. But we are curious to see what you've got in mind for this NFL weekend number two, Sal.
Yeah, I like 1-1-1. I'm going to try to go 17-17-17 by the end of the regular season.
Good luck with that. That would be really an accomplishment.
I'm going to strive for. But first game, I like the Dolphins over the Colts. They're getting 3 points. I really like that. I'm impressed with their defense. They upgraded in the draft and in free agency. It wasn't much of a test last week against the Browns, but they did come up with 3 interceptions. The Colts, kind of a mess. I picked them last week, like you said, being against the Raiders. Andrew Luck asked to do too much. He was sacked 4 times last week, 41 times last year. This is a problem. They're not rallying for the sick coach anymore. Remember, you guys, how great the show was last year when
Sure, absolutely,
that,
yeah.
He had that risky surgery, donating his kidney to the astronomer who invented Pluto or something.
I think you might be confused a little on that one.
I think so, but you're right. They had a lot of motivation last year with the sick coach, absolutely.
Exactly. And it's not anyone's fault. You need to get inspired. And the Dolphins, I think, are a wild card team. The Colts are one of last year's playoff teams they'll knock off. Take Miami plus +3. They win the game 20-16.
I just want to make sure that I understand what you're saying. You're picking the Dolphins.
I like the Dolphins. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Have you ever picked them in a game that you can remember previous to today, Sal?
Yeah, I think so. Why? No. Yeah. No, they're good. They're going to be good this year.
All right.
Wow.
Playoff
okay.
Team. All right.
Well, Chip, who works here on the Kevin and Bean Show, could not be more excited. She's a lifelong Dolphin fan and has just been nothing but heartache for her. All right. Let's move on to another game with some high-profile teams, Packers and Redskins.
It may be unfair to analyze the Redskins in week one against that scatterbrain Eagles offense that refused to leave the field, but the truth is it's going to be a lot of the same. They're facing Aaron Rodgers and the Packers no-huddle up-tempo offense. Rodgers threw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns last week against the Niners. And on the other side, I just don't think RG3 is ready. Like, I know the announcers need you to keep watching the game, but to say that his knee looks stronger and actually gained strength as it went on, how is that possible? His knee was shot for 8 months and then 2 hours, and then miraculously for a 20-minute period, it decided to come back to full strength. No, I think the Eagles' defense was tired. The Redskins, one of these teams is going to be 0-2 after this week. The Packers have too much offense. They win their home opener 35-20. Give the 7.5 points. Take the Packers.
I was surprised, considering Redskins games that I've seen in the past, especially in the RG3 years, I was surprised how lackluster that whole team looked. They didn't look excited to be there. It seemed like they were really having trouble like getting the season started last week, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. But and I look, like I said, I'm not buying into that fourth quarter comeback. Like,
that Eagles defense was tired. They were on the field like the whole game.
Yeah.
The Eagles ran like 80 offensive plays. And like, yeah, we can give up a couple touchdowns here. But, yeah, I'm going to call him RG 3 weeks until the injured reserve.
All right. And then I think the game that's scheduled for Sunday night is the NFC matchup that Seahawks fans like me have been looking forward to a long, long time. The 49ers are in town. It's our home opener. The 49ers, of course, went to the Super Bowl last year. Two great quarterbacks. How do you see this one rolling out?
Such a great game. Such a great time to be a football fan and an American. I'm proud of this game. I think if the Syrian rebels and their government could carve out 3 hours to watch this game, they would realize there are much more important things going on than whatever it is they're fighting
That's
for.
Your answer?
Yes. All right. That's my answer.
All right.
Put things in perspective.
We'll get that to the State Department.
I'm not super impressed with the 49ers last week. They're not the defensive juggernaut I remember. And meanwhile, yeah, it was close, but if you look at the stats, the Seahawks kind of toyed with the Panthers last week. Not to mention, they have 5 players suspended for performance-enhancing drugs. But drugs make you better at football and a lot of things. Honestly, if you had to bet who would be more fun at a party, would you go with Andy Dick or Dr. Oz?
Yeah,
absolutely. Go with the drug guy.
Go
sure.
with Dick.
You bet on Dick every time, right? Kevin admitted it. You bet on Dick every time.
Right. Kevin has long said that. I believe he has that tattooed somewhere on his body.
That's the problem. Bean, I apologize. I'm taking your team. I'm sticking with them all the way through the first week in February. Changing of the guard game in the NFC West. Seahawks have a big day on the ground. 8-0 last year at home. Crowd takes over early. 24-13. Take the Seahawks, given the 2.5.
Now, Bean, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Is your confidence dinged a little bit now that Cousin Sal has picked your team?
No, I agree with every word out of Sal's mouth. Okay. I think he's absolutely right.
There you go.
By the way, I heard, and I don't know if this is true, Sal, or even matters, but I heard that the largest scalping market in the history of regular season NFL games is this Seahawks 49ers game for Sunday night. The most money being asked for a regular season game in NFL history. So there's some anticipation there for a lot of West Coast fans.
I did hear that, too, and I heard that there was the police are the undercover police dressing in Niners gear to make sure, like, they're really taking a lot of precautions. There's a lot of smack talk on Twitter. The 17th string running back for the Niners tweeted, called them the She-Hawks, which is always exciting for the guy who no impact on the game gets involved. But, yeah, it's going to be a great one.
All right, Dolphins +3 over the Colts, Packers -7.5 over the Redskins, and the Seahawks -2.5 over 49ers. Read much, much more about this NFL weekend at Grantland.com with Sal's blog that goes up this afternoon, and then with Bill Simmons, of course, on the podcast on Monday. And always, you should always watch his real-life cousin, Jimmy Kimmel, late nights on ABC. Sal, have a great weekend. I hope you're right on, brother, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Thanks. See you guys.
Thanks. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Kevin's girlfriend, Yvonne Strahovski, is going to join us next hour. Talking about that. He's in love. He loves her.
More importantly, she loves me, but
yeah,
right.
What I'm saying. Although she's such a great actress that you can't even tell when she sees you or talks to you because you just look at her and she doesn't seem like a woman in love at all.
She hides it well.
Well, okay. She's got to put on, you know, a good cover.
Yeah.
Right.
Keep it on the DL.
Well, we'll talk Dexter with her coming up next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Join me tonight, won't you, at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose. It's Hollywood Babylon. Me, Kevin Smith. You, Cocktails.
No.
Yes, do it.
No.
We have a good time.
No.
And I'd like to invite you to be my guest right now. 1-800-520-1067. Since it's Friday the 13th, how about caller number 13 and 14? Two winners.
No.
We'll get a pair of tickets to attend Hollywood Babylon tonight. We'd love to see you live at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. Great venue, by the way, that Improv. It's 50 years that comedy club has been there.
No!
Yeah, that's true. For 50 years, it's been
there. No!
Yeah,
what? No!
It's an historic location, and it's a great place to see a show, and we have a good time. So come on and join us. You can go to improv.com if you don't win and get your tickets there.
No!
And as always, thanks to everyone here for all the support.
That customer service call, we put up the link to, and I got a bunch of people saying it's fake.
And no, I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either, but let's all watch Jimmy Kimmel tonight anyway, just to be safe.
I'm sure Jimmy will have both parties on.
Yeah. Hey, special heads up. Tomorrow, Saturday, Jamba Juice stores here in California will be offering 16-ounce smoothies for just $1.
Woo!
It's a pretty good deal.
Take it easy, Muggs.
I know Kevin loves the Jamba Juice.
I do.
One near my house, I went in there, and he was up on the Cup Wall of Fame.
Yes.
Come on, Ralph.
Right next to Bell, Biv, and DeVoe. That's where he was.
It was only one of the three, I think. It was only Bell or Biv.
No, I think it was Bell.
Well, they all three? Two. Maybe no DeVoe, but there was Bell, Biv, Kev. It was Bell, Biv, Kev.
I was a member of that group as well.
I said, he has an autographed Jamba Juice cup on the wall. Now I know Kevin has arrived. He's somebody.
I went into
Jamba Juice. He's on the cup wall of fame.
I went into Jamba Juice, and there was only one person there that knew who I was or cared. And he asked me to sign a cup. And I was like, really? I mean, seriously?
Okay, Kevin, whatever story you need to tell,
that's
make
true.
Yourself look good. You sent Linus, your assistant, in there, and he said, Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show insists on being on your wall of fame. It's not a wall of fame without Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, and he forced them at gunpoint to have to accept your signed cup.
It's not a wall of fame if I am on there. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, just a buck. 16-ounce smoothies tomorrow in California. All proceeds will go to fight childhood obesity. So make sure to get your kids that peanut butter, chocolate, and banana smoothie they serve up there at the Jamba Juice. It's a good time. Madness. Liam Hemsworth and Miley Cyrus, they are limping along with this relationship, but sources are saying it's over, but no one will step forward and pull the trigger and end the relationship. They haven't been together. They haven't been seen together. They haven't been photographed together. Not spending time together.
I don't understand how hard this is. Just somebody say it's over and move on. No one cares.
Maybe sometimes people just don't want to admit it's over.
But by all accounts, it's been over for quite some time.
Well, especially for Liam. Word is he's been spending a lot of time with January Jones.
Right? He wins.
He's 23. She's 35, by the way.
Hmm.
But still, he won't cut Miley loose. And I would think, really, the twerking thing would be enough. You could text her during that, couldn't you? Say, take your big foam finger and stick it where
you stuck it.
Where you stuck it, yeah, exactly.
Just can I, so. I know you guys, you hate Miley Cyrus, and you're tired of Miley Cyrus, and she's annoying, and I get all of that. I can't disagree.
Because she's awful.
But I think she's really pretty now.
Oh, my God.
Am I
heaven.
Wrong? No, in the Wrecking Ball video, you look at her features, you look at her skin and her face and her eyes, and I think she's got a great body. I think she's really
she has
pretty.
She doesn't have a great body.
What do you mean she has a great body? She has the body of a 12-year-old.
She's just naked.
With boobs.
Yeah, with little boobs. She's just naked. Stop being so easily swayed just because she's naked.
I think it's the close-up on her face at the beginning of it that you like because it's relatively cute. Because
it's extremely lit, and she's well made up, and they focus on her eyes, which are a nice color. That's the only reason you get any attention.
You don't think she's pretty at all?
No. Look at every other picture of her ever.
I see other
pictures of her. You've seen one video. Look at everything else.
I do. I said, look, she was not an attractive teenager, but what I'm telling you is that she is growing into a very pretty woman, I think.
A very pretty llama. Yes, she is.
Lisa, what do you think? Do you think she's pretty at all, or am I on my own here?
Thank
I'm out on my own here.
Lisa, jeez.
You're just wishing.
Lisa just is the voice of reason here.
only this time.
No, almost always.
Almost always.
All right. Really, you have anything to say?
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Thank you. Thank you for finally admitting that.
I accept really that not everybody has the same taste, but I think she's very pretty.
I'm in between Ralph and Bean, but a little closer to Ralph than Bean.
I mean,
I think she's getting better.
She's better looking than she was 2 years ago.
I think so.
Great. That doesn't make her a very pretty woman. You know why?
I agree.
Because other pretty women exist, and I'm able to do a side-by-side comparison. And
I'm
I can say
she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Woman, and then here's Miley Cyrus over here.
You put her next to Yvonne Strahovski, for example, and there's no connection.
Put her next to Yvonne DiCarlo. This is the only Yvonne I can think of in short notice. Not a big deal.
All right.
Llama tooth. Hearing that laugh, kill me. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, 52 years old today. Comedian Jeff Ross is 48. Steve Perkins, drummer for Jane's Addiction, turns 46. Tyler Perry turns 44 years old today. Fiona Apple is 36. Ben Savage, actor, 33 years old today. And Niall Horan of One Direction.
He's a Scandinavian member, right?
Try to say his name for real. What is it?
Niall? N-I-A-L-L.
Niall.
Niall?
Is it Niall?
Maybe it's Niall.
Maybe, but that's a Niall bad spelling.
Horan.
Niall Horan.
N-I-A-L-L, first name. Last name, Horan. H-O-R-A-N.
I think you're right with Niall Horan.
Niall Horan.
I think you're right.
Name sounds vaguely backwards. One direction. We should record Niall Horan and then play it backwards and see what his name really is.
Because we might crack a code
here. He's running from the law. Anyway, he's in One Direction. He's 20 years old today. He's richer and getting more poon than anyone of us ever will. Mm-hmm. But still, his name's Niall Horan.
He's not vomity. He's not the One Direction vomity.
No, that was Lewis. That was Lewis.
Oh, that was Lewis. Okay.
Lewis, I fertilize the pitch.
That's right.
From One Direction. His last
I can't
name is
keep
I
all those One Direction people straight.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:34.
Ralph Garman joins us for one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Well, before I get to the latest and greatest in show business news, I would like to give away some tickets to a very special event. It's the K-Rock advance screening of a movie that I am so looking forward to. I am looking forward to seeing the new film by Ron Howard called Rush.
Yay! This doesn't happen often where it's a subject matter that you're really not interested in, but the movie looks so good. It looks like such a great story.
Great is it when a really well-done movie introduces you to a new story or sport or lifestyle that you had no interest or knowledge of before, and they bring you into a new world and introduce you to something that you're really interested in.
I love it. That looks exactly what this is.
Yeah. Chris Hemsworth stars in the film along with Daniel Brühl. They play respectively Formula One race car drivers James Hunt and Niki Lauda, a legendary rivalry between these two drivers in the 1970s. This movie captures that and all the drama of Formula One racing and all the sexiness and the swinging 70s and the drugs and the booze and the boning. And it's just everything. It's just fast cars and women and booze and Germans. And Brits. Here's a quick scene from the film. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I'm in.
Hey, hey! Spoiler alert, by the way.
Sounds good, doesn't it? If you want to go see it, and why wouldn't you after that description we just gave you?
You sold it.
Five pairs of tickets are available to the first five callers who get through right now. 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. It's the number to call. Get your tickets for our advanced screening of Rush on September the 19th. The movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday, September the 27th. I still can't quite get over that earlier in the week I forgot the number to the radio station.
That was awesome. I don't think we have that moment with
you. I don't think you do either.
No,
but
that's too bad.
I'm still flummoxed. And a little concerned about that total just gap of my memory that just disappeared.
Well, first of all, we've been working with Kevin for a long time, and that might be catching.
That's
but
true.
Second of all, it's happened to me on a number of occasions, partly because, you know, we also have the Afro line, and I'm always concerned I'm going to give the wrong number anytime I give out a number.
I don't have that excuse.
Yeah,
it just went away. And it's something, how many times have I said that phone number?
Thousands.
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 Maybe that's it. Maybe it becomes so rote that you stop thinking about it. You stop registering it, and it just becomes something that's supposed
to be. So what is the number, Ralph, again?
I have no idea right now. I couldn't tell you. 1-800-520-1067.
My life is like that every single day, Ralph.
You know what? And I'm not kidding. I would have to take my own life. Because all I have really is my brain. That's all I have. It's the only thing I got going for me.
Well, I got the looks.
That's true. If I had your looks and your physique, then I wouldn't concern myself so much. Because you're cute, you could be dumb. But I'm a toad of a man who just desperately needs my intellect. And if that would have started to go,
I fear
Alzheimer's more than any other disease.
Do you really?
Absolutely. But bar none.
But don't but
to be trapped in my body with losing my faculties is a recurring nightmare for me. Hmm.
We would so F with you if you had Alzheimer's. Oh, my God.
That would be fun for us.
Just let me wander around the
You don't mind us.
Yeah.
You just told us that story, Ralph.
I did?
No, you said you wanted this tattoo of the Dallas Cowboys on your chest.
What? Yeah, it's tragic.
Yeah.
Tragic. All right. Let's get the show business news. You guys watching the Ray Donovan?
I'm a little behind, but yes, it's great.
It's phenomenal.
Comes on right after Dexter.
Yeah, new series on Showtime in its first season, created by Ann Bitterman, who gave us, of course, Southland. And it's really outstanding. And one of the stars of that show, Jonathan Scheck, is enjoying being a brand new daddy. Baby boy was born yesterday to him and his wife, Julie. Camden Scheck is his name.
That's bad on both counts.
Camden Scheck.
That's a bad first name and last name.
You can't change the last way. You could, but, you know, that's the guy's last name. Nothing you can do there.
Camden Scheck.
Camden Scheck is the name of the first child.
Right.
Camden. See, it's hard for me as a Philadelphian because Camden, New Jersey was the smelly town right across the bridge from Philadelphia.
Oh, so they were the butt of every joke?
Yeah, every time I hear Camden, I think, garbage.
They probably shortened it to Cam, I would imagine.
Cam.
I would imagine.
Camden Quinn-Sheck is his name.
Yeah.
This is his third marriage, by the way. He was married to two smoking hot actresses beforehand. One Tree Hill star, Jenna Rae Kramer, and actress Christina Applegate. They were also married.
No kidding.
Yeah. Best wishes to Peter Mayhew, the guy who played Chewbacca in all the Star Wars movies. Peter is now 69 years old. He's currently in a hospital in Texas where he just had a procedure to have both of his knees replaced. There was nothing wrong with them. He just had elective surgery.
I'm not a big fan of my knees. Can I get them replaced? Yes,
they look all knobby. This is a cosmetic surgery. No, he looks much better. Hmm. No, they had failed him. He was, well, he's 7'3", I think.
Is he that big?
He's a giant.
Wow.
Yeah, and a big man, I guess, as you can imagine, you put wear and tear on your joints, especially your knees when you're walking around running from stormtroopers all day long. And so he had to have, he was in a wheelchair for the past 2 years to get around. They had to replace his knees. But because of his enormous size, they didn't have any in his size. There's no
knee that
no
big.
Artificial knees that exist in the medical community that they could have used. So they had to custom build him some new knees. They used spare parts from the Millennium Falcon, apparently.
Is that right?
His knees together, yeah. But he is currently recuperating, and they hope that this will all allow him to walk again, which would be great.
Chewie, get us out of here!
There's the doctor right there talking to him. Ratings are in. Last night's million-dollar quiz.
Million-second quiz.
Million-second quiz. Million Man March. Whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Hit a new low last night.
All right.
Yeah, every episode, less and less people are watching.
Ha ha!
Know why? No one can understand what's going
on. It's a bad show.
It's a terrible game.
But I thought it was the most anticipated television event of the year.
So they told us
that, too.
Huh.
What's it down to? Do we have...
you know, I actually left the hard data in the other room, unfortunately. It's on the printer, but it was...
just be happy in the knowledge that it's decreasing.
It's like a million people watching. I know
so NBC's probably fifth, right?
A rerun on ABC of Shark Tank beat it out. That's where it is in the ratings.
All right.
Sweet. Reruns. Here we go. Here's
good
the
times.
Number. Yeah. 1.25
okay.
was the rating.
That's not great.
Show is down a new low. The repeat of Shark Tank was 1.34 on ABC, so that that beat it. And all the key demos as well. So
I hate to say it, but I don't think we can blame Seacrest for this one. I don't think anybody could have saved the Million Second Quiz.
I agree. However, people I don't think are tuning in to see him.
I'm not a fan of him either, but he doesn't get in the way like he used to.
Well, look, say what you want about the guy, but he's a completely reliable and dependable host.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's adequate to get you from point A to point B.
He can
B,
move
sure.
any show along. He can read any cue card. He can do anything. That
didn't used to be the
doing.
Case. He used to be a detraction, I think, from the show. But he's fine now.
He is polished up.
But you need more than him to make that show work.
Well, you know what you need? A show would be good.
A show would be good, yeah. A game that people could understand. That would be good.
Demi Moore has a new love in her life. She is currently dating the 66-year-old mogul Peter Morton. Owns a little chain of restaurants called the Hard Rock Cafes. You may be familiar with those. Chewbacca's been there.
Yes, he has.
I believe, for a while, he was also part owner in the casinos and the hotels, but I believe he divested himself of that, sold it off. But still, guy's got a couple bucks. They apparently are very much in love. Her three daughters think he is downright charming. Everything is going for this couple.
Fantastic.
Except!
What?
Hmm? Possibly the one spanner in the works, if you will, is the fact that Demi used to date Peter's 31-year-old son, Harry.
Wow.
Which I suppose has to come up at some point, right? Has to be an awkward conversation at some point.
I would think so.
Between any two of the three people involved in that.
And she's hot, so I would think her being around the 31-year-old all the time would be kind of difficult for him.
Yeah, I used to have that.
Yeah.
I used to not look at that. Where's his dad going out for some smokes? Why don't you come over here, Demi? Let's rekindle those old feelings.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were in the shower.
You guys Cheap Trick fans at all?
Love them.
Not really.
All right. We've got both sides of the
love them
of the spectrum. Cheap Trick's being honored right now at the Grammy Museum here in Los Angeles. The Mike Curb Gallery on the fourth floor has a brand new exhibit called Cheap Trick. I want you to want me.
Nice.
Features a ton of band artifacts, including some of Rick Nielsen's crazy guitars. And last night, Cheap Trick did a Q&A session at the museum and got on stage to do a few of their classic hits.
But they fired your boy, Bunny Carlos,
but
right?
He's not
with
was
them
not
anymore.
Invited, I do not believe. He is currently suing them for
some... You fire Bunny.
He was the best.
He was the best.
The only drummer in rock and roll who would smoke and play drums at the same time. Cannot beat that. Got to wear a tie and little glasses and a mustache. And you sit back there completely just emotionless, just smoking away while you drunk.
Yep.
It's the best.
Love it. Let me play a clip of I Want You to Want Me, the song you reference off, because a lot of our younger listeners may not know. This was their breakthrough hit from the Budokan line.
What? How dare you, Ralph?
I want to hear the clip.
Talking about Cheap Trick.
Yeah, sure.
Here's what they sounded like in their
Looking forward to it.
Still sounds fresh after all these years.
Feel good about that, do you?
I do.
All right. I'm happy with it, too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. What are you, Kevin, right?
Yes. Congratulations to the Honey Boo Boo family. Great ratings for the Honey Boo Boo Commitment Ceremony special Wednesday night between Mama June and Sugar Bear. Jeez, their names are like cartoons.
Yeah.
3.2 million viewers watched, which is good
Just
for any
crazy.
Show. Let alone cable television.
Wait, how much was Million Man Second Game March?
I don't know.
One million?
A million change, yeah.
So they got three times the audience.
Yeah, well, it was the commitment ceremony, Kevin. By the way, you notice I did not say wedding.
Yeah,
because Mama June opted for a commitment ceremony versus a wedding because she did not want it to be legally binding.
She's fat.
She wanted to keep all of her options open for all those other suitors she has knocking on her door.
She likes to play the field.
Well, you know, she's lost 100 pounds. She's down to like 400 pounds now, so I can see why she'd be attracted.
She needs to lose.
I feel sad.
Yeah, I feel sad, too.
She needs to lose some of the ugly. Can you do that?
That's just mean.
Yeah, but
That's
really.
Just mean.
But honestly,
Kevin.
If we're talking about her and her options.
She's just as God made
her. She should lock in the one guy who's interested in her.
Just got that club tractor foot. There's nothing she can do about that. Today's celebrity birthday is singer-guitarist Dave Mustaine of Megadeth is 52 years old. Comedian Jeffrey Ross celebrates 48. Steve Perkins, drummer for Jane's Addiction, is 46. Actor, director, mogul Tyler Perry, 44 years old today. Fiona Apples, 36. Actor Ben Savage is 33. And I've heard very vocally from One Direction fans.
Oh.
Oh.
Why they're listening to our show, I have no idea.
Okay.
But it is Niall Horan.
Niall?
N-I-A-L-L.
That's not Neil.
I don't think so either, but they're telling me that's how it's pronounced. Kneel, as if you were to kneel down in front of another member from the same band that you're in. Niall Horan of One Direction turns 20 years old.
I appreciate you smoothing it over with the fans of the band. they're probably happy now.
1D fans upset with me because their boys are busy puking and kneeling. So congratulations, Neil. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have a brand new show for you. John Bones Jones will be in the studio.
Bones Jones!
New Linkin Park music, and Mike Shinoda will also be in the studio on Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Fire beer mug.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
For the bitches.
Roll another one.
I'm truly honored to be here today.
Just like the other one.
Whose stupid idea was this? Seriously.
This seems to be about to quit.
This is for all the fat.
I need another hit.
Think I forgot, let you slide, let me ride, just another homicide. Yeah, it's me, so I'm a talk on, stomping on easy streets that you can walk on. So strap on your cubs and hat your locks. Oh, look.
Roll.
Yes, that was Lisa rapping.
Roll another one.
Who is this woman? Why isn't someone shutting her up?
Just like the other one.
This is so exciting, I wish I could.
This one seems to be about.
Well, you know, you don't look like you're having a lot of fun.
I don't have another cent.
I gotta read it again because my mind is just a piece.
That's not brown rice.
Just pass it around.
Spectacular, just spectacular.
I think it went well. Well, you know, not well, not well at all.
Well, I will now be on my way. Oh. Good night to you both.
He gone, and this ball game is over.
Yes, yes, yes.
But above all else, if you want to pick and choose and take your time, because we've got the cars, acres and acres of cars, just pick and choose and take your time. We've got the car you want. I'll stand on my head to sell you a car. Worthington Ford, the San Diego Freeway at Bellflower Boulevard in Long Beach, open to midnight.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.